This is a judgment in which the nations will come before him, and a grand multitude of people will come before the judge, who is Jesus Christ.
This is Straight Talk.
And there may be some of you listening to me today that say, I have never taken a step in my life to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to encourage you. The Bible says if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. This may be your day of salvation. And if you're not exactly sure how to go about it, let me just explain it simply to you. It starts by realizing that you're separated from God because of your sin. We're all sinners, and our sin has separated us from the holiness of God, and that's why we need Jesus. Jesus is the mediator and the Savior, and it means that you believe that he died on the cross and that he can be your Lord and Savior, and then you have to invite him through believing and repentance into your heart by opening up your life and saying, God, I can't save myself, but I do invite Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord, and I turn away from the way I've been living, and I turn to embrace God's way. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It just means that your sins have been washed and that the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you and gives you the power to be transformed from the inside out. If you've never made that decision, I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now. If you're listening in your car, or if you're at work or at your home, you can pause right now and repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself. So today I open up my heart in faith and I say, come, Jesus, into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I turn away from my things I've done wrong in my past and invite you to come in and change me from the inside out. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have said that prayer in faith, I want to encourage you to email me or write me, and we want to get you started on how to take the first steps in growing in your walk in God. God bless you, and have a tremendous day.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Today, we are in a message called The Moment of Truth, which is part of Pastor Mark's series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus. Our main text will be found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 45. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
This is a very powerful but yet a very convicting passage that we are going to conclude this series with. And I have to say, you know, sometimes there's basic lessons, fundamental lessons that we don't always grasp, and sometimes we need to go back and review the fundamental lessons that God wants to teach us. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a very powerful and convicting parable that Jesus gives that covers, I believe, some of the basics of what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read a portion of this parable, and then we're going to go over it. In verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. And I needed clothes and you clothed me. And I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? They're a little bit perplexed and said, Jesus, if we had seen you hungry, we would have remembered it was you, Jesus. If we would have seen that you needed clothes and we clothed you, I mean, we would have remembered that we gave you something. When did we do this to you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, you depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. And I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. And I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Lord, if you would have come to our house and said, here I am, Jesus, I need a God, we would have given you anything you want, Lord. If you have needed something from our table and you didn't have anything to eat, we would have said, Jesus, please come in. Here it is. Let's put out the spread. I don't remember you being hungry or sick or in prison. When did we neglect you, Lord? And he will reply in verse 45. I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of God. Now, as we have spoken about before, Jesus used parables, sometimes very vivid, colorful parables, to communicate profound spiritual truths. And he usually took common things of life and told stories about common things of life to communicate these deep and profound truths. In this case, he's taking a very common picture that the people in his days were accustomed to seeing. They were accustomed to sheep and goats and cattle, camels. They saw that every day walking down the street. They understood that there was a difference, a profound difference between sheep and goats. And he uses this parable to describe a judgment that will come and what will happen during that time of judgment. Now, I want to take a look at this parable and I want us to glean some powerful truths from what Jesus was telling them. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, we've already looked at the parable of the 10 virgins in verse 1 through 13, when the bridesmaids go out to meet their bridegroom. It's a parable about being prepared. We also looked at verse 14 through 30, the parable of the talents, last week, where Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a man who entrusts his property and goes on a journey, and they need to do well with what's entrusted to them. And Jesus wraps up this final discussion by comparing the final judgment to a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. Now, the big idea of this parable is that he will contrast who is an authentic follower of his and who is not really an authentic follower of his. Jesus spent a lot of time in the gospel talking about what it really meant to be a real follower of his and how there were also pseudo followers. He told the story of the wheat and the tares. Do you remember that? Where when a garden grows up, you can't always tell the difference between the weeds and the vegetables or the wheat. And you have to let it grow pretty high before you can tell the difference between both and before you take out the weeds, just in case you don't want to pull up the wheat. He talked about the fig tree. Do you remember the fig tree story that Jesus said? He said he planted a fig tree, and when the fig tree did not produce fruit, he waited and waited, and after a while he realized this fig tree did not belong in the garden, so he cut it down. In Matthew, he also talks about the difference between a true follower and a false follower. And he states basically that by their fruit you will know them. Not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. This parable is also in that direction, distinguishing between the authentic followers of Christ and those that are not the authentic followers of Christ. And I want us to look at this because there are some powerful, powerful concepts in this passage. First of all, I want us to understand the separator. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Now, we could get into a long discussion about what judgment this is. The truth is that in the end times, there will be several judgments. There's a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. There's the judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment called the judgment of the nations. And some people have argued about what judgment this is. Nonetheless, this is a judgment in which the nations will come before him, and a grand multitude of people will come before the judge who is Jesus Christ. And at that time, Jesus Christ will separate the authentic from the pseudo. In verse 32 through 33, we see the separations. He says, all the nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goat on his left. Now, I grew up in a small town in northern Spain called Rubena. We had about 200 people in that town. My best friend was the son of the shepherd. And so I hung around sheep quite a bit because my friend, his dad, was the shepherd. And he was your typical vision or picture of a shepherd. His father's face was deeply, deeply tanned, wrinkles. He carried a staff. He smelled like sheep. He had two sheep dogs. And the village would hire this shepherd, and he had probably about 400 to 500 sheep that he would go out into the mountains around the village. And so every morning when he was ready to go out into the mountains to shepherd the sheep, there would be 40 sheep from this barn that would come, and maybe 50 from here and 100 from there. And he would gather all the sheep at the beginning, in the morning time, and he would make his way out into the hills, and he would spend the majority of the day out in the hills, and at evening time, where they would pasture, and in evening time, he would come back into the town, and all the owners of the sheep would wait for him, and every sheep was branded. There was a certain brand on every sheep, so they knew these sheep belonged to this household, and those sheep belonged, and it was always a challenge to try to separate them. Because sheep really aren't that smart.
You are listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, lead pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Please stay tuned, and after the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Matthew chapter 25. We are in verses 31 through 45. Our message is called The Moment of Truth.
I was wondering why Jesus compared us to sheep so often. But let me tell you about hanging around sheep. They're really not smart at all. And the owners of the barns would have to stay out there, and we'd have to usher the sheep in there, and they'd have to grab sheep into the, because some sheep were really confused. They lived there day in and out, and they still couldn't figure out their home. And we'd have to separate every sheep, and it was always a sort of a big village commotion. Well, in this scenario, he compares the judging to the nations as this great herd coming before him one day. People from every tribe and nation standing before the judge, and he looks out at the great multitude, and in the multitude, he's got to separate the sheep from the goat. Now, in this parable, the goats are viewed as the pseudo sheep. They're viewed as the illegitimate, as not belonging to the shepherd. And from a distance, if you see a large herd of sheep and goats, unless you get close to them, you can't always tell the difference between them because they're around the same height. They have the same, a lot of the same complexion. And it takes a shepherd to look more closely at them to be able to distinguish who are the sheep and who are the goats. And Jesus becomes that great separator. And it says, and when that day comes, he will bring the sheep. He, only he can identify who are the sheep and who are the goats. And he will, at this great judgment, he will separate some to one side and some to the other side. Now, by the way, I've known people at times that thought that Jesus would separate people according to denominations. And some people think, well, you know, all the Baptist or all the Pentecostal, all the Assembly of God, all the, you know, they're all going to go over here and all these other religions or people are going to go over there. But it's not going to work that way. You see, because it's not about what you label yourself. It's not about what denomination you may belong to. This is about a personal relationship with the living God. And not anybody of any church, or whole denomination. God's not going to look at the general label. He's going to look at the individual person. And there are groups of people that most of them, there are churches that I would say, oh, most of those churches are in heresy and wrong, but there will be some people from those places that will come in. And there are other places where we say, they're right on target, and this is a vibrant, dynamic church, but not everybody from every church is going to simply go in because it's not about the label or the church, it's about the person. And so he will carefully separate the sheep from the goats, the Bible tells us. And you may ask yourself this question. The goats are the lost people, the sheep are the followers of Christ. And you may ask yourself this question, upon what criteria does he separate them? What does he use to separate the sheep from the goats? Now, this is very perplexing. It's hard to understand, and it's very, very convicting. Because what he says is that he will say to the sheep that are gathered before him, the big question is, what have you done with me? Jesus speaking. That's the big question. What have you done with me? And he will look to the sheep, and he will say to the sheep, come, you who are blessed of my Father. In other words, you who have the favor of my Father, come. And take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you since before the creation of the world. This is beautiful, by the way. The thought is this. I think it's expressed in a song somewhere. The Bible declares that Jesus created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Think about this for a moment. He's been working on heaven for a couple thousand years. Imagine if he created the heavens and earth in 7 days, what glory is going to be like. Created since the beginning of the world, a place prepared, the inhabitants of God. You see, it's God's desire that all his people would spend eternity with him. And so when he asks this question, what have you done with myself, with Jesus? He says to them, I want you to come and enjoy what I have given you because at one time I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And their response is the righteous response. We don't remember doing that to you, Jesus. We don't remember giving you a coat. I mean, we don't remember inviting you to our dinner table to eat. We don't remember visiting you in prison or looking after you. We don't remember putting our arm around you and encouraging you. I mean, it's a crazy thought to think that you, Jesus, would be in prison. We would have known if you were in prison. I mean, we would have remembered if Jesus was in 26 and Cal. I mean, we would have remembered. I mean, we would have remembered if you were down at the food pantry review at the Pacific Garden Mission. God, we would have remembered that. I mean, we would have never let that happen. But if we ever reached out to you and helped, I mean, it would be vividly ingrained in our mind what we did to you. And then Jesus will say to them, no, see, you have it all wrong. See, what you don't understand is that I am in all my creation. And whatever you'd have done to the least of these, my brethren, you have also done it unto me. That brother in extreme need that you put your hand around and gave him a $20 bill, you did it to Jesus. And that guy that you visited in prison and encouraged and ministered to when a lot of people had turned their back on you, see, you did it to me. And when you invited a stranger over, invited me out to lunch, you see, what you don't understand is you did it to me. Because you didn't understand that you were doing it to me. But I am represented in every hurting, difficult, poor, disillusioned, downtrodden person in the universe. I am there. That's a thought. Whoa, is that a thought? Come, you who are blessed of my children. But yet there will be others. That he separates the goats from the sheep. And he says to them, hey, you never did this to me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. When I was out on the street, you didn't bring me in. When I was struggling, you didn't put your arm around me. When I was downtrodden, you didn't try to help me. When I was in difficulty, you didn't try to build me up. And they would say, when? When? I mean, we really would have done it. And whatever you have not done to the very least of these, my brethren, you have not done it unto me. Go now from my presence. Now, you read this passage, and you say, well, Pastor, so are we all judged according to our works? Is that what this passage is saying? Well, we understand according to Scripture that's not so. I think that what we need to really understand about this scripture and really grasp about this scripture is what it tells us, for example, in James chapter 2. I think James chapter 2 is a great commentary on this passage. For in James chapter 2, it describes the connection between faith and deeds. In James chapter 2, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is what? Dead. Hear me well. Faith that does not change you is not a living faith. Living faith will change you. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Listen to this. Someone says, well, I have faith, you have deeds. Doesn't the Bible teach that it's by faith and faith alone that we receive our salvation?
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, the lead pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. His message has been called The Moment of Truth, which is from his series called Life Lessons, The Parables of Jesus. Tune in again on Monday for the second half of this message.
As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.